I'm looking out at an empty church. I know people are watching live stream, unless we have internet problems, but it's painful, and I know it is especially for all of you who will not be able to receive our Lord in the Most Holy Eucharist on this Holy of Holy Thursdays. Here we are on this beginning of our sacred Triduum. Here we are seeing the vision of Jesus dining with his apostles, the first bishops. And we see all kinds of dynamics going on at that dinner. You know, we see Judas plotting. You know, he's working with people behind the scenes to trap and to arrest our Lord. Why? You know, recently I wrote a reflection, and I've thought about this before, but I never put it down. And I look at the dynamics of everything going on at that Last Supper and the first bishops, first priests, bishops, and I say, you know, does it point to how we are as priests and bishops today? And so Judas, one of the 12 first bishops, betrayed Jesus because he had no supernatural faith. And he just believed he was part of an organization. Nowadays we might call it a non-government organization, right? And so this organization, in order for it to succeed, in order for it to continue to draw more income and more people to it, in Judas's estimation, let's get rid of the extremist, the fanatical, the nut job, right? We can withstand, you know, this loss, okay? And so he calculated. And so Judas, even embarrassed that this fanatic believed in the supernatural power of God and believed in miracles for goodness sake, should be put out. Because you know why? That's too extreme. Okay, so we want to be more, you know, even keeled. Who does they sound like? And Judas was in league with the rulers of this world, the worldly. You know, so that what? So again, so the organization would succeed. Who does that sound like? Yeah, I believe this lack of supernatural faith, this conspiring with the worldly, is played out in about 1/12 of our priests and bishops today. We see some bishops, if you want to have a reverent mass, if you're asking people to pray the rosary. I mean, I lived through this in seminary. I watched a handful of seminarians kicked out because, ready for this? They had a statue of the Blessed Mother in their room and a rosary in their pocket. Too fanatical. Too much. Kick them out of seminary. Do you see what I'm saying here? Even today, you could push, you can be in league with the world and the gay agenda and, you know, vote for pro-abortion politicians, and you're promoted in many places as a priest. But don't you dare offer a reverent mass, because that's too much.
And so it was with Judas. Jesus was too much. We don't want any of that. And so in this 1/12th, I'd count, for example, Cardinal Burke. I've got ahead of myself here. That's the 1/12th of the bishops. First of all, there's also, forget the Cardinal Burke part, jumped a paragraph here. Cardinal Burke is not one of those. But then let's look at the rest of the 12, okay? I say that 10/12ths, okay, 1 plus 10 is 11. The 10/12ths of priests and bishops are those who what? Did as the 10 of the disciples did. They didn't go out and, you know, get Jesus arrested for 30 pieces of silver, no. But they scattered. They remained silent. They let him go to the cross while they were in silent self-protection. Yeah, we get pamphlets when 1.5 billion children have been destroyed since 1973. We get pamphlets. There's nothing said when a Catholic politician is all in favor of killing children, all the way up to birth, beyond birth. Oh, we shouldn't get too political. Scattered in silent self-protection. Protect the organization. 10/12ths, I estimate. You make your own calculations. So what about that other 12th? So we had the 1/12th Judas, we had the 10/12th, the rest of the apostles. John the Beloved stayed right there. He was at the foot of the cross. He could care less if he would be martyred. He stood by Jesus. When things got hot, heated up, he stayed with them. My brothers and sisters, things have heated up. I mean, how decrepit does the culture need to get? While the religious leaders of our times, us priests and bishops, scatter in silent self-protection, protecting the organization, fearful of being personally attacked. Maybe a white martyrdom, right? Where they might go after your reputation. We can't have that. But, and I said Cardinal Burke is one of these John the Beloveds. My bishop is. You know, I've heard of bishops that have told their priests, don't stand out in front of Planned Parenthood and pray. I can't even fathom that. But it's too political, right? We might be seen as extreme or fanatical. We need to protect the organization. Judas, my Bishop Pying, is out there constantly. Must have logged a million hours out in front of Planned Parenthood. He leads by example, just as Jesus got down on his hands and knees as a slave and washed the feet of his disciples, his apostles. He said, as what I have done, you must do too. We need to be a people who are altogether concerned about our neighbor, about 1.5 billion children, about our children growing up in a culture that is normalizing 83 genders or whatever it is, while we stand doing our own thing over here. We need to be a slave to one another. But I ended this reflection, I said, but remember this. After they betrayed, and then another one denied, And then the rest of them fled in self-protection. But one remained. After all that had happened, and our Lord was crucified, and he rose from the dead, they stood in that upper room and they received a power. And then they went out. And they were martyred. They stood for the uncomfortable truth that the political ruling class could not take, and so they had to be martyred. These first priests and bishops of our time, I pray as we are going through this very completely different Holy Week, sacred Triduum, that this is a time for us to say, can I stand at the foot of the cross? Can I remain with him? Even if I may be attacked for doing so, can I be the foot-washing martyr God has called me to be? Amen.